to take about 10 minutes to share something very briefly, and then I'm going to invite Jesse. I'm going to open up this service today. We want to hear about what God is doing in your groups, in your one another. And I hope today, if you're here and maybe you're actually not putting a lot of effort into one another, you know, encouraging, inspiring one another, we pray that maybe today God will move you closer, that you maybe get a little bit of conviction to say, you know what, this is not just about me. It is about the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus. And I'm hoping that after today, if you're one of us, that you're still like arm's length away from the one another. Hope you get closer. Hope you open up a little bit. Hope you give of yourself. Hope you share your life. Because that's what God's calling us to do. So let me pray very quickly. And I'll take 10 minutes, share something very quick. And we'll let this let loose and have a good time today. Father, we honor you and thank you. We bless you. We honor you for your word. We thank you that you're helping us by your spirit to get back to the truth of your word. We just bless you. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, God. To understand that the strength of the church is not in the numerical numbers, but it's in our commitment to one another, encouraging, building one another. We thank you. We honor you and bless you. And we give you the honor today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to read a quick little story. A farm boy accidentally overturned his wagon load of wheat on the road. A farmer who lived nearby came to investigate. He said, "Hey, Willis," he called out, "forget your troubles for a while and come and have dinner with us. Then I'll help you turn your wagon back over." "That's very nice of you," Willis said, "but I don't think Dad would like me to." "Oh, come on, son," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay." The boy finally agreed, but he said Dad won't like it. After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked the host and said, "I feel a lot better now, but I know Dad's going to be real upset." "Don't be silly," said the neighbor. "By the way, where is he?" "Under the wagon," said Willis. See, when we face problems and challenges in life, and if we're left to struggle alone, if we're left to struggle alone or go through life alone, if we leave our brethren out, if we leave other brothers out, and we're not concerned about how they're doing or how their lives is faring on, then we leave them to struggle under the weight of their own struggles. And the moral of our story is to understand that we do need each other. We go through life. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be, life is going to happen. But when life happens, you don't want to be alone. You want to have a community of 3 to 5 people that you've allowed into your life to share your life, to share your story. You are there for them. They're there for you. They're praying for you. You're praying for them. They're encouraging you. You're encouraging them. You're inspiring each other. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24. The Bible says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another." Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us consider. The scripture there says, let us consider how to spur one another. Do you see the responsibility that God puts on us? Do you see that there's a great sense of accountability for each other? Because it says, let us consider how we may spur one another. So there's an accountability that you and I have when I stand before Jesus. How did I spur another person? How did I build them? How did I encourage them? There is a responsibility that you have, that I have. He says, let us consider. In other words, let us think about it. Let's give it weight. Let's put time into it. Let's put effort in it. You see, the word let us consider, you can see it's in a present tense, which means it's ongoing. If I considered how to spoil you last week, I have to do it again today. It's continuous. It's present. It's like, let's keep doing this. Let's not stop. Let's keep taking on this responsibility of spurring, encouraging, building one another. You see, when we consider each other, we are saying to God, Jesus, I am accepting the responsibility you've given me. Ladies and gentlemen, each one of us here, God says you have a responsibility towards another. Yeah. I didn't write it. I didn't say it. But he said, spur one another. That means I have a responsibility to spur another, to encourage one another. We all have a mutual responsibility to look out after another. It means we no longer have the right to say it is a pastor's job. We no longer have that right. Because he didn't say, pastors, consider how to spot one another. Do you know how many ministries are built on pastors? The New Testament church, the early church, was not built on a few handful of men called the apostles. It was built on one another. That scripture doesn't say, pastors, consider how to spur one another unto love and good works. No, it said, let us consider all of us. We have a mutual obligation to stay connected, to stay in faith, to have a community of believers that you feel a sense of responsibility and accountability before Jesus. That when you stand before God and he calls you out and said, I called you into a body to be part of one another, to spur one another, to encourage one another. Did you do it? I'm not sure if saying I was busy at work is going to fly. I'm not sure if saying, well, I was too tired and exhausted is going to fly. I'm not sure saying, oh, God, I had 5 kids is going to fly. I don't know what excuse is going to fly. You think about it. But when he asked you, you're part of a body, you had to spur one another, encourage one another. Did you do it? Is that an excuse we have that you think today will really fly when we stand before God? It means that we have to look out. We need to inspire, encourage one another. One man said, a candle loses nothing when it lights another candle. So when you begin to share your life to light up others, encourage others, build others, you don't lose anything. You actually get the blessing of the Lord. We must surrender, ladies and gentlemen, to this obligation that God calls us to show genuine concern and love for each other. Because when we look out for each other, guess what? We get to love more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When we look out for each other, we aspire to do more good for each other. And when we love more, we are able to do more good. And if we can do more good, it's going to trigger the people who are watching that are not Christians to be keenly wanting to know what's happening with you guys because you care about each other. They need to know. Jesus said, when men shall see your love for each other, they will know you are my disciples. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, it begins with us knowing we have a responsibility. We've been called by God. And the good thing is, it is clear. It's not like you're being asked to think about 50 people. No, God has put you in a group of 3 or 5. And he said, man, let's grow together. Let's build one another. Let's encourage one another. Because Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. God, that you help us as a church. You help us to understand that the early church was deeply into fellowship with one another. That the early church was deeply involved in fellowship with one another. Father God, most of us here have seen Francis Chan's illustration of the rope, where the red little bit is this life, but the rest of the world is eternity. We ask in the name of Jesus that we don't lose sight of what matters. That we have a sense of obligation to one another. We have a sense of accountability towards each other. That we can be the church you've called us to be. Not forgetting one another. Help us in our little groups, God. Help every group to thrive. Help every group to be strong. Help every group to stand. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So very excited to have Jesse, Sherry, and Will. Ken couldn't make it. He had the commitments, but good to have them here. How many excited to see them? Come on, church. Yay. So I'm going to have Jesse come up. If Will wants to say anything, you're welcome. Sherry wants to say, you're welcome. But we're going to talk. We're going to share. But we also like to, if you want to give a quick testimony about how God has been helping you or how it's been a blessing to be in your group and what it's done for you, I want you to feel the liberty to come and share this today.
It's good to be here. It's good because now you can actually miss faces. Because when I see you guys like every week, sometimes you just don't miss. Man, I saw you last week. I'm not into it now, right? It's like, hey, I missed your face, Barrett. I'm like, what's up, my man? You know, so you need Dion. It was great to be here. So for the past month, obviously, we've been up in Mukilteo in the barbershop. And we're figuring this thing out as far as, you know, the streaming and whatnot. And it's really interesting. The only one thing for sure we know what's going on is we want to tune in right at 11 o'clock. That's the idea. That's the one thing the pastor and I agreed on. 11 o'clock, we want to be on. So what happens from 10:30 to 11, you know, we're worshiping and praying. And when we were talking, Sherry and I, and I know and Will and Ken are kind of a part of that also, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so let's structure this. What are we going to do at 10:30 to 11, you know, and start thinking, like, well, you're going to do all this, and it's like, man, we scrap it all. Just show up at 10:30. If we decide to worship first, that's what we'll do. Or we'll pray first. We're going to do as God leads us, and I think that's what the early church did anyways. Don't give me a set of we have to do it this way. We're going to show up, and then there's times where it's like, we share testimonies first. Somebody has something on their mind. So that's a way of allowing God to work. Amen. You want to buck this religion thing out. You have to do it this way.
Yeah.
What God's doing, let's lean that direction, what God's doing. So it's really great. Matter of fact, I know Ken's not here, but it was so funny. Him showing up 3 weeks, I told him, I said, I've learned, Sherry and I both, and Will said, I've known more about Ken now in the 3 weeks he has shown up than I've had for the years about him. That's what happens when you only have a few people and you do one another. You actually get to know people's story. I found out a ton about this guy that I never knew before. So that's a great part about actually building the relationships and the one another and praying together and doing that. So it's been really great on that end. We're working through it. You know, so as the coming weeks, we're going to start getting better at doing this as far as the technology is concerned. And once we feel comfortable enough, but we're not going to do that yet until we can actually get some things figured out a little bit more. So anyways, great. One quick thing I would like to share with everybody, because this has been something that I've been thinking about a lot over the past couple weeks, and I wasn't too sure why I was thinking about it, but it's blessed me, and I'm sure it's actually going to touch someone in here also. I had been brought back over 20 years ago, May of 1998. A very important month and year for me because it was, I was in my home. I was in my home in my bedroom. Hell, a young guy. I was in my room. I was doing what a lot of young 20-year-olds do. You go out and you do crazy stuff and you just kind of live life for yourself and whatever makes the most sense, you just do it that way. But I knew that there was something that was bothering me. Like about that, like the emptiness feeling, just didn't feel right. I actually kind of had a breakdown in my bedroom. I literally, like an emotional type of breakdown. I fell to my knees and I cried out to God, like whoever that may be, because I wasn't raised in the church. I don't know. I wouldn't know. I remember calling. I remember falling on knees. I remember
God, I just need you. Like, it was a sense of needing. And I needed, and there was a sense of, I needed forgiveness. And I did not know why. Because like I said, I wasn't brought up in the church. I didn't know. And I remember just calling out to God, you're there. I just, I need you. What, and whatever that meant to me at that moment, that's as far as I could go with it. I remember getting up, and I felt changed. And I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that there was only one person that I knew. And that there was only one person I knew that actually lived by the book. And it was my grandfather. And he was the only person I really knew that he lived his life according to the book. And I remember reaching out to Woody, and I go see Grandma Viola and Woody, and I tell him what happened to me. And he's like, no, son, come here. And he started showing me scripture about it and introducing me to Christ. That Christ came to forgive the sin that you're feeling. And it was a gift that was actually, it was free. And it was something that I knew I needed. There was no other world you would offer me that. Right? Like those of a Buddhist faith or Islam faith or Hindu or any pantheistic worldview, none of that.
Right.
It was only Christ.
Amen.
And I didn't even know.
Amen.
And I went, so these past couple of weeks, I've been thinking back of May of 1998. When I dropped to my knees and I cried out to God that I didn't even know. And I did not know him. I want you to think about when you first did it. You think about when you first did it. Why did you do it? Because churches are filled everywhere across the world. And there are those that have been showing up sitting in the same seat, and they've never even done it.
Wow.
They've never done it. They go because that's what you know. You go to show up, and that's all that we've been taught. Think about your why, when you did it, and go back to that. I had to go back to my first love, because even on my path over 20 years now, I became a prodigal son for many years. Many years within the camp.
Come on. Come on.
Coming back to my father. And he brought me back to the very beginning of why I did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's God. He's faithful with these things. And he's faithful to you. And I wanted to share that. Actually, I didn't plan to share it. John goes, hey, I need to say a few things. I'm like, well, and then I thought about it. I'm going to share this because I've been looking at this, and I hope it blessed you somehow, and it brought you back to what you need to be. Boy, it's really good to be here. Thank you for letting me share that. It blesses my soul. It really does. It actually, it really blesses me, and it just reminds me of why I'm pursuing the heart of God, because I just feel empty. And that's what you just pursue the heart of God. You do that with faith. And I promise you, you know, as you draw closer to him, he's going to draw closer to you. And you're going to have this relationship you never had before. I mean, you can be, today you could be closer to him today than you were even yesterday.
That's right.
And
that's right.
God honors these things. I promise he really does. So amen for that. And I'm going to, and I know God is doing a ton. He's doing a ton in a lot of people's lives right now. And I would definitely like to open it up. If somebody would like to share a word, that's something in their heart, or whatever the case may be, and whoever would like to do that, you know, like, oh, okay, perfect, William, awesome. Yeah.